Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tell My Story, the podcast where we highlight the often overlooked experiences of all frontline workers. Normally, you'd be hearing from me, but this week we have a special edition episode with two of IWC's directors who are going to be speaking to their high school teachers about the upcoming school year. I'll pass it on to our directors now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Namrata.
And I'm Tiffany. We're the directors of Impact Without Contact Waterloo.
Today, we're so pleased to be joined by our very own high school teachers, Miss Kidd and Madame Scullion.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
We're happy to be here.
It's our pleasure to have you here today.
Okay, so before we jump into our main conversation, Miss Kidd and Madame Scullion, would you please say a few words about your position for the upcoming school year?
Yep, so I'll go first. I'm Miss Kidd, and I will be teaching two dance sections for the first quadmester and then grade 12 English for the second quadmester. That's if nothing changes. So for now, that's our schedule. And then second semester, which will be the third quadmester, I should have drama and dance as well.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a French teacher at SJAM, so I will have a full French course load. And yeah, I guess I just want to point out the fact that Miss Kidd had mentioned that, you know, this is what she should be teaching. This is what we think we will be teaching. There are still some question marks about it. But yeah, if all things go as planned, I will have grade 9 French, grade 12 French, and grade 11 French split throughout the year.
So we do understand that you're teaching your specializations. And we're just wondering if it's always been kind of guaranteed or if you had any uncertainty around like your position for the upcoming school year.
Yeah, I think we've sort of been told from the beginning, or I'd say since June, with everything being up in the air and us not knowing at all what school would look like, and that they really worked hard to prepare us, our administrators and our board as well, to say like, listen, anything could change. You could get told that if it's an online thing, you might be teaching online or depending on sectioning. There's so many factors coming into play. So we were really, truly warned that, you know, your teaching within your normal teachable might not be what ends up happening. And so a lot of questions surrounding that for sure. Mm-hmm.
A big part of that too was how many students would be doing full distance learning. So they're gonna need teachers for that fully developed school where students are only online. So a lot of teachers right now are being told that they'll be teaching the distance learning portion of the school year. So yeah, it's all happened very quickly because they obviously had to wait for numbers, COVID, and how many people in the region had it still, if we were going back or not, and then how many people felt comfortable returning to school or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just based off what Tiffany just said, that's actually one of the reasons that we wanted to speak to both of you today. You both mentioned that, you know, there is a lot of uncertainty and also from a student perspective, a little bit of anxiety surrounding the new school year. So, you know, we thought it would be effective to have a conversation between two teachers that, you know, we're familiar with, just on how to make the most of the upcoming school year. So we're so glad that you guys have taken the time to talk to us today. So I guess, Tiffany, do you want to just hop right into the questions?
Yeah. Okay, so again, speaking of uncertainty, there was a big turn of events in mid-March this year, and we're just wondering what your initial reaction was when it was announced that schools were going to be closed for more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, do you want to speak first, Ms. Kidd?
Sure. I would say my first initial reaction was shock. Like, we've never had anything like this happen before in our teaching career. And like my parents, like my mom was a teacher too. She said, never experienced anything like this. So for a school to be closed, like you have to know like things, none of us knew what was coming next. Right. And so it was for me, pure shock. And then a little bit of, oh, well, what is coming? Are we going to be returning? Is it going to be 2 weeks? Is it going to be three? Is it going to be a month? And then it just kept snowballing, right? So it was shock at every turn.
Oh, definitely, definitely shock. And I too will add fear. There was a lot of fear that I know in my household that we were experiencing, and I would say that everyone was experiencing too, thinking, as you pointed out, Ms. Kidd, just saying like, and of course we were talking to each other the whole time too. Wow, like if this is going to mean more than 2 weeks, like reading between the lines, this is very serious. This is no joke. This is no like, oh, there's, you know, this little sickness that's going around. And of course we weren't thinking that anyway, but yeah, exactly what you said. This has never happened before. And for this to happen, it's got to be very serious and very real. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was hard to imagine what things were going to look like, the world in general and also within her profession.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. In terms of that, you both of you guys talked about that shock value that came forward. I think a lot of us can connect with that as well. I remember on that last day of school, when we were told that, you know, school was going to be out for an extra 2 weeks, I feel like a lot of us didn't understand the gravity of the situation at that point. We thought, okay, 3 weeks, it's longer than expected, but, you know, we're going to get back. But I think once April hit, things really started to sink in. Mm-hmm. So, Tiffany, do you kind of agree with that student?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was like a roller coaster of emotions, because I feel for students, when we heard that we were getting more time off, we were super excited, to be honest. And then when we realized that we're not going back to school anytime soon, it's just kind of, we were like, oh, it's not going to be a normal year at all.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I think the initial reaction is like, woo, 2 more weeks, of course, right? And then it's like, oh, wait, the school doesn't just shut for any reason. Like, this mm-hmm. is serious. And my initial reaction was like, my heart broke for the grade 12s. To not be able to see them off and to not be able to truly hit those milestones that so many of us look forward to in high school, it broke all of our hearts. That was really tough pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm. I think I was very, very worried about my students. I had no idea what they were experiencing, what they were thinking, what they were going through. I'm wondering, wow, are any of them ill? Do they have a close loved one that's ill? And then as it became this thing that we would be going back and that we would have this sort of emergency online schooling, I had to think very carefully about being positive, warm, loving, but also not that kind of toxic positivity where mm-hmm. I'm not acknowledging the fact that maybe not everyone is just like, yay, hey, it's okay, everything's okay. They might be seriously struggling at home. And I would say I have those same feelings right now entering the new year, just really wanting to be careful to be the loving and supportive, that being number one priority, but also really trying to respect the fact that, you know, coming in with just nothing but a big, huge smile and rah, 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 sis, boom, bah, that might not be where everybody's headspace is at right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like mindful of that. Leaving space and room for everyone and everybody's emotions and feelings, and knowing that we all walked a very different path over the last 6 months. And so as teachers, we always have to be able to like adapt and really take a look at our students and understand that everybody is so different in their approach and what they're comfortable with, and try to make sure that everybody's just feeling comfortable and safe.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think, you know, one of the things that we're, you know, taking from your conversation is that the way we've had to communicate with each other and the way we need to be a little bit more sensitive on how we communicate, you know, whether it be with our peers, whether it be with our family. So that sense of communication needed to change, not definitely on a personal level, but on that professional level too. So I think with that being said, we can just jump into the next question, which would be, did you feel the support of the government or the ministry as schools are opening up? So I guess as a precursor to that, you could think about communication on that school board level, or, you know, even internally within SGM, whatever you'd like to speak to.
I, and you know, Ms. Kidd and I have spoken about this together. I have felt very good about the amount of communications that we got, both from the ministry, from the school board, and from SJAM, which would include our administrators, our department heads, even our colleagues. I think in this unknown time, all parties were really, really good about just communicating whatever they could, keeping us up to date, saying whatever they knew at that time, all under the caveat of, we have a lot of unknowns. Are you okay? Make sure you're looking out for each other. You're looking after each other. Would you agree with that, Ms. Kidd, do you think?
Totally. And I think, you know what, we're all trying to do about a year's worth of work in a couple weeks. And so, like, everybody's doing their absolute best. And like, it is, I'm just blown away by the work ethic, the hours that people are pouring in to make sure that the return to school is as safe as it possibly can be. Because of course we all want to be there. As teachers, we want to be with our students. We want to be face to face with them. And we know that that's good and beneficial for mental health. So I completely agree with Madam Scullion. Like, we really all have been working so hard at all levels to make sure that we're approaching this the best way we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can totally see from your responses that this situation has definitely affected everyone. It's impacted, you know, ordinary people like us, and all the way up to the ministry, our school board, and obviously with this huge COVID situation, our government has to get involved. So with that, our next question would be, what do you think of COVID-19 becoming a quote-unquote political playground? And how do you think that affects the staff and students at schools?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because obviously you read any news article, you hop on anything online, hop on social media, and you can see that it's tense out there. And, you know, and there are ways in which it feels like, oh, it's the government against teachers, against parents, against students, and that there's some, you know, that there's some tension that's happening there, feeling as though like, oh, why are teachers saying they need more time, or why is this happening, or whatever. But I think honestly that just speaks to how much uncertainty there is, and we all have to, every single one of us, no matter who we are and what our role is, have empathy and understanding, and just think like, things are changing constantly. Information is changing. What we know about the virus is changing. And, you know, we have to weigh, decisions have to be made that are based on the economy, that are based on our actual physical health, that are based on mental health for everyone involved. So there's so many stakeholders at play. There's so many people at play, and so many things to be mindful of. So I think that it is wise to try and not get caught up in all of that, and to believe, and maybe I'm a bit of a dreamer, honestly, but I do tend to just be more positive about things and just think, hey, like, we're seriously all trying our best. I believe that the government cares about us. I believe the school board cares about us. I know teachers care incredibly deeply about students. We wouldn't be teachers if we didn't. So I just believe that everybody is truly trying their best to do what's best for everyone involved.
I completely agree, Ms. Scullion. Like, I really think that none of us have been through this before, right? And so we're all trying to make these policies and procedures and guidelines when, like, really, this is new grounds for all of us. And so, again, we just have to remain positive. Sometimes if you get overwhelmed with, like, what everybody is saying, you lose focus on what really matters. And for us as teachers, it's you guys. It's the students. It's like making sure that you feel comfortable, that we can still have a sort of regular school year. It's going to look different, but we're going to make the most of it. And our number one focus is your mental health and well-being. That's really all we care about.
My advice would be stay away from Twitter comments. not a good road to go down, let me tell you.
Dark path.
I feel like if you go down that path, it's like you could keep on going and going.
Yeah.
Well, for sure. Well, and you start reading things and you think like, oh man, wow, people are outraged, or, you know, is this what parents feel like? Or, and then you realize, okay, well, that's not everybody. This is, you know, and it's hard not to take things personally, and it's hard not to think like, ah, how can you feel that about teachers? Like, teachers are trying, they're trying desperately, they're trying everything they can. We're doing whatever we can to make going back to school safe and to be the most informed and to give you the, you know, the experience that you deserve.
And that's where I think we just need to, like, ground ourselves in our intention, because there's always going to be noise coming from everywhere with any big decision that's being made about, especially like a public school system, right? So I try to, like, block that out as much as I can and focus on what my goals are as an educator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tiffany and I were talking yesterday, and we were just saying how, you know, every generation kind of has their thing that they talk about, and this is going to be our thing.
Yes.
So, you know, you guys touched on that social media aspect. So I think it makes sense to say that, you know, sometimes social media, in a situation like this where there is no, I guess there's no appropriate response that every single person can give. Everyone kind of sees it at their own path, depending on what perspective they're looking from. So, you know, I won't understand the pressure that you guys are facing at all, because I just understand that it's so immense. You know, we get it from that perspective that there's so much uncertainty, and using, I guess, social media to find an appropriate response, I guess, might not be the best path, because you need to figure that out for yourself. Mm-hmm. I guess that also applies to, you know, the whole new school system. There is no set in stone pathway to take. So I think Tiffany can speak to that too.
Yes, there's definitely so many changes for this school year. And probably the biggest change is the semester system, what they call a quadmester system now. Mm-hmm. And in your opinion, what do you think the difficulties students could face in this model? You know, like the big difference between a normal school year and this school year. There's obviously so many changes, and yeah, we're just wondering what students might, what obstacles they might face with this quadmaster model.
I think, well, looking back at my experience being a student and like sitting through lectures and that were like maybe 2 hours long, 3 hours long, I think the length of time is a bit challenging, right? I don't know if any of you have been to summer school, but it's sort of a similar setup to that. So I think the biggest challenge is keeping students engaged. Can't be teacher up lecturing the whole time. Like, that's just, it's too much sitting and listening. Some points our brains just shut off, right? So we're gonna have to find ways to like have natural breaks in those lessons where like kids can kind of reset and refocus in. But I think we as human beings are really adaptable. And I do think that although it may feel a little different at first, I'm trying to look sort of on the positive side of that. Like, I'm looking forward to like the special connection I'm going to be making during those quadmesters. Like, we're spending all day with each other, you know, like that's pretty cool. We're going to get to know our students really, really well. And maybe we'll get to explore some things that we like normally wouldn't have time to when you're breaking up your lessons into smaller chunks. So I'm looking forward to see like what comes out of that, what comes out of the longer period of time with students. I think it's going to be cool to see. I really do.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I completely agree with you. And maybe just to clarify, so what this new system will look like versus what it did look like. So at our school, for example, with the semestered system, students had 4 75-minute periods a day, plus a lunch break. So with the quadmester system, it's turned into, well, so you're dealing with just one period at a time per day, one course per day. But what that will look like is you have a learning block for 2 hours and then a 45-minute nutrition break, which would be like a lunch break. Students can't leave the room. They're staying at their desks to eat their lunch. Of course, they could go to the washroom if need be, and there's even a process in place for how that will work. And then it's another hour and 45-minute learning block. And then it's a student dismissal at 1 o'clock. And then from one, and then an hour and 15 minutes where technically it is a learning block from home where you could do some further learning at home, whether that is continuing what has already been done in class or if there are more things to access from home. So yeah, it is quite a long chunk. And I love what you said about connecting and being really close, because I tell all of my French students that in French class, and I believe this about drama classes and dance classes as well, you really truly are a family. And because you have to be, because you have to have trust and you have to have comfort in order to speak. Like, I'll speak to my subject matter in order to feel comfortable speaking French. You know, you have to feel as though, like, these are the people that are around me are people that are my friends, are people that I trust and they trust me. And therefore, I can be vulnerable and it's okay if I make mistakes. So, you know, of course, I thought that's my teaching philosophy, right? And to create community. And Ms. Kidd and I have talked about that a lot and what we value in teaching. And we share similar ideas there and ideals. And then I was, you know, it was just this feeling of, wow, is that really going to change? How do I create this same sense of community when my students can't even, like, normally I have desks in groups. And, you know, if students can't even get out of their desk to get up and talk to somebody else and have a conversation, like, how does that work? And what does that look like? And, you know, are they going to be bored for this super long period of time? But it is true that humans are adaptable. We will figure out our new normal and we will figure out a new way to, you know, how do we get through these longer periods of time altogether? And then the 10 days on, 10 days off, or it's like you're 5 in class, you're 5 from home, and then you do your next course and you don't see your first course again for quite some time. So staying connected, really using that class time to connect and do some pretty cool things. And at first I thought, oh man, like my grade 12s, are they even, I shouldn't say this maybe, but are grade 12s even going to want to come to class? But you know what? I really think that they will. I think that they're going to be dying to, because it's like, yeah, it's a long period to be in one course, but like, we've been at home for so long, like, just to be in a space with other people and your peers. And I feel really optimistic. This is going to be an incredibly special year where we feel a closeness with our students that maybe we haven't even gotten to that level in the past.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree, Ms. Scullion. And I think too, with the reason why the hybrid model was adapted was to have smaller cohorts, right? So you guys are going to have one-on-one attention with teachers that you've probably never had before. To have a class of like 15 or less is going to be pretty special, right? Especially with like such a chunk of time. I think it's going to be really neat to see the connections that everybody makes.
Yeah, and like I'm already thinking about like the exciting conversations just about, you know, not just like, oh, qu'est-ce que c'est que le passé composé, but like speaking beyond that and getting into the guts of what's going on in the world. And I think we're going to have some really cool conversations, and I'm super excited about that.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely see how smaller classes will allow to build a relationship between teacher and student, and even student to student. That's mainly for, you know, the kids going back to school doing the hybrid model. Do you think there would be any different difficulties for the students that are just purely doing online this week?
Well, I think with the online courses, they're going to be doing a lot of synchronous learning, which means they'll be live, like we're talking on a Zoom call right now. Mm-hmm. It'll be the same thing. So again, like, it's going to be different because you're talking to a screen, but I know teachers who have been researching games to do online and all of these really cool applications that they can use to really connect students, breakout rooms for small group communication to happen. So I think teachers are amazing people who really like dig deep and dive into what they need to do to connect with their kids. So I have full trust that any teacher doing distance learning is going to make those same connections that they would with kids in class.
Yeah, that's super awesome how, you know, we can use tech to our advantage now.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, based on what you guys are saying, I think it's wonderful that that sense of community is really at the forefront of your minds, which, you know, personally, I'm doing distance learning. So hearing that being, you know, said by teachers, it just, I feel like that reassures me as a student that we feel supported even in a remote environment. Just because, this might sound a little sappy, but, you know, just because we're at a distance doesn't mean, you know, we're unconnected.
Right.
So I think that's wonderful to hear. We've touched on distance learning, but I just want to go into that a little bit more. This is something that I'm personally curious about, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on. So in distance learning, academic honesty is an incredibly important thing. Sometimes it can be a little bit more difficult to monitor a student's work when it's not being done in person. So I guess my question to you would be, how can we ensure academic honesty in distance learning?
That's a good, it's a fair question. And if I were to be perfectly frank about that, I would say that when everything changed to the emergency distance learning, I thought, okay, who are my kids that are going to connect online? And well, geez, if we're not in class and I teach French, like, is it just going to be all Google Translate and this is going to be a big issue? And you know what I found? That it wasn't an issue at all. And I don't know what that is. I would like to say in my own, again, that like that dreamer sense that I just believe that people at their core are good and that they're true. But I'm sure there'd be some listeners that are thinking, uh-huh, sure. And, you know, the temptation to cheat or be dishonest in terms of the work that you do, of course, would be there. But there are ways in which, and this is what's going to be interesting about this year, like distance learning isn't new. People have been doing distance learning forever. Mm-hmm. So there are ways in which you can have assessment and work that isn't done in such a strict sense that people are, that they're tempted to cheat, if you will. I found that, you know, with these live conversation, for example, when you're having chats or you're doing presentations or you're having little jam boards or you're having little conversation pieces here and there, those are all things that are working towards your learning and working towards your activities. And people are, for the most part, they're just themselves, and it's their true voice and it's their true work. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not, what do you have to say there, Ms. Kidd, about it?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's interesting how we learn our students' voice in their writing and how it is, like, you can tell. You get to know somebody's writing, and hopefully with, like, even online and, like, video communication, you're getting to know your students. The first diagnostic piece we ever do in English is like a little creative writing piece where you're talking about yourself. And right from the get-go, we get to know your style of writing. So the more you know your students, the easier it is to kind of figure that out. And I agree with Ms. Scully. And like, I feel like for the most part, people are true. I mean, there are online systems. You can submit papers to Turnitin.com. Google Docs even has an application where you can see if things are plagiarized or taken from other sources and not properly cited. But in a year like this, I feel like that's the least of my worries and concerns. And if there are, then you deal with it on an individual basis.
Yeah, so going back to, you know, we're talking about assignments and tests. There's also like a different aspect of school and the learning process within the students, is their motivation and their spirit to learn. And with this new school year, obviously some people are learning at a distance and with face masks and everything, the spirit or the motivation within students might be dwindled or they might be not as strong. And we're just wondering, how do you plan to keep that motivation alive within students?
I'll speak first just really briefly, and then I think like Ms. Kidd will have lots to say about this as a drama and dance teacher. So Ms. Kidd and I always play a role in the plays and the musicals that our school does. And that is probably, I think I could speak for both of us when we say like our favorite part of the year. You know, it's one of our favorite things to do. The connections that you can make with your students and the things that you can do in extracurriculars. And we know for a fact that for some kids, that's why they come to school every day, or for those extracurricular clubs and activities and sports and whatnot. And so, yeah, it's heartbreaking to think like how there's going to be a huge shift with that this year. But that being said, it's also really interesting the type of creativity and ingenuity that is born out of this time. And so maybe Ms. Kidd, you can even talk about like some drama stuff that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So even last year in distance learning, without having ever tackled this before, Miss Rose senior drama class put on a full senior production. They did a live streaming of it. They recorded it on Zoom. It was absolutely amazing what they were able to come up with. And I think, like, a part of us as human beings, when we're put in these situations, we, like, find ways to still, like, enjoy life and to still have outlets of creativity. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing, like, what we are going to be able to do. Will pep rallies and spirit assemblies be online, and will each class be in charge of having a little piece of that? And then will that in turn include more kids, because it's not just the ones that are brave enough to, like, get up there, but it's every single class in the school having their piece. And again, like, with cohorts being smaller, we're thinking about how we can do that creatively and showcasing different classes in the building. I think there's lots of opportunity for people to still shine and to celebrate what we have to offer at our schools. And I think we're going to be blown away by what people create. Artists and human beings and teenagers, I'm always blown away by what they come up with, even when they're limited and what they technically can and can't do. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what we do as a school community.
I think it, you know, just like hearing you guys talk, I think it's so great that, you know, every question that we've asked so far, you guys are always seeing the positive side and how we not use this as something to be sad about, but more so something to build off of for the future. You know, just talking about trying to be a community even at such a distance, you know, one of the things that I guess Tiffany and I can especially speak to this is on Instagram, we've seen so many people coming up with their, you know, smaller initiatives in terms of, you know, youth-run organizations. And that's always been on Instagram, but, you know, through this pandemic, there have been so many that have just evolved. And whether that be, I guess, about science or art, you know, absolutely anything you can think of, it's hopped on. You know, people are trying to create that community even at such a distance. And I think it's supporting each other in a way that, you know, maybe we didn't think of before. I guess touching on that idea of support, that everybody needs support one way or another, whether you're a student, whether you're a teacher. So, you know, you guys are doing so much for us, but we wanted to ask you, as students, how can we support you guys? How can we support the staff of SGM?
That's so lovely that, like, it, like, melts my heart that you would even, like, think as a community like that. I'm just blown away that you would even have that in the forefront of your mind when it's such a challenging time for you guys. But it's so important. I think that's so sweet of you to say that, because it is so important to come together and check. And I think, honestly, the number one quality we're all going to have is patience, right? Things are not going to run smoothly, even if we want them to. We could, like, plan for the best and then things could all change next week, right? We don't know. So I think we just need to be patient with one another. We're all doing our best, and just give everybody grace, right? Allow everybody to make mistakes. Nobody's doing it to try to hurt anyone else. We're all taking risks here. And so just really being understanding, kind, and empathetic to everybody we encounter in this process.
Just adding to that, absolutely, just being mindful, and that everyone, so, like, knowing that nothing is punitive. Nobody's out to get anyone else. We're all in this together, and this is such new territory, scrambling to, like, okay, how do we do this? And what does this look like? You know what? I attended this webinar recently and I thought it was so sweet. One of their main messages, it was for teachers and some strategies for getting back to school and some ideas of how you teach in a hybrid learning model. And one of the things that they really truly advised was for teachers to be vulnerable to their students and to really be honest, you know, and to say, like, I'm scared too, and I'm nervous too. And yeah, you know, I don't necessarily know exactly what I'm doing here, right? Like showing that kind of honesty and not just trying to be this superhero pretending that, oh yeah, this is normal. I've done all of this. And always being mindful of that what is presented in front of you is one facet of the person, and you don't know what's happening behind the scenes. We don't know how things look at home for students, for teachers. We don't know how kids or siblings or parents are feeling, you know, and so if students are mindful of teachers in that way and teachers of students, I think we will really, truly will help support each other, and it'll be great.
Yeah, I totally agree that, you know, as teachers, you guys are ordinary people too, and you guys have your vulnerability. And kind of going back to the part of the year where everything kind of shut down and we were all stuck at home, I think we had a lot of quality time to spend with our family members, close friends. But with that, I think we also had a lot of time to ourselves, and that allowed for a lot of self-reflection. So our next question is kind of a reflective question. As teachers, how do you think this situation will allow you to grow further?
Yeah, I think that we will become better teachers than we've ever been in this year. And I mean that in the sense of, because yes, there will be times where we are like, I don't know what I'm doing, or oh my gosh, that didn't work at all, or oh, am I like, you know, is this working for the kids online versus the ones in front of us? But I think that we will become better, because the best teachers, in my opinion, are those that are truly empathetic and that can put themselves in other people's shoes and that care so deeply about their students. And this is going to be a year for care and understanding. And so I think that we will really have this sense of, wow, like we are going through this together and we're doing it together and we're wearing a mask and a shield. Teachers will be wearing both of those, and wow, we're staying far apart from each other, and what a bizarre time to be experiencing in school to look like this. And I think that when we come out on the other side, we will be stronger because of it.
I completely agree. Like, we grow the most in the most challenging situations, right? And so we just have to be kind to ourselves, and we're going to fail. There are going to be some things that don't go well, and that's okay. But we're trying and we're moving forward together. And I think that's all we need to do during this time.
Yeah, the idea of, I think, self-reflection has, you know, has really played a role in everybody's lives. And, you know, it's affected people in, I guess, their profession, in their personal lives. And I think it's shifted a lot of people's priorities throughout this pandemic. So I guess this is kind of a preface to our next question. You know, with the understanding that people's priorities have shifted quite a bit, you know, we wanted to ask you, you know, personally, how have your priorities shifted in different aspects of your life? You know, one of the things we wanted to ask you is about your profession. You know, you guys talked about the sense that communication and community is very important to you, especially this year. Would you say that's kind of a summary of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Building that community. That has been the communication that we have received. You know, you're not going to be able to deliver the exact things that you delivered in the past. So you've got to abandon that idea of 2019 and the 2019 school year goals. These are 2020 school year goals, and this is for both teachers and students to have that frame of mind. And there are going to be new priorities at stake. And it's a year of personal growth and development. And yeah, we're going to learn a few things and in the subject matter at the same time, but it really is going to be more of a year that's about personal growth and critical thinking, even being more pertinent than the subject matter itself or the specific content of the subject matter.
Yeah, I completely agree, Ms. Scully. And I think, like, really our focus is on community building, making sure students are feeling okay. If we can throw some curriculum stuff in there, then great. That's, of course, important. But that's not the main focus. We want to make sure that everybody is feeling safe and feeling like they can thrive in whichever environment that they're in.
Yeah, so we've definitely talked a lot about know, the professional side and school life, student life. We're just wondering, how have your priorities shifted in your personal life, like as a parent, that is applicable to you, but also as a person, you know, things like your self goals for 2020, as mentioned before.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna like get emotional talking about this, but I mean, the two of you probably know this. For example, so I'm a parent and I have two young children, but I will speak to the personal relationships beyond being a parent first, which is just, this kid is one of my closest friends in the entire world, and I haven't touched her, hugged her, held her hand, seen her closer than, you know, 6 feet since March. And I am a person that is about, you know, we've spoken a lot in this interview about human connection. And for me, that is those personal and physical connections to have with people is a huge priority for me in my life. So this has been a really big shift. I have my strict bubble of 10, which includes my mom, thank goodness, and our next door neighbors and my neighbor's parents. And so it's lovely to have that. But I, you know, I'm lacking that in my life. And we all are. I'm sure you could all agree as well. So that has been hard. And that has been a shift to figure out, how do you fill your cup in that way when you know you have such a need for that? And so doing these things like still seeing people and having Zoom meetings or whatever it is you need to do to connect. Like even I think about the themes of books that we read in my French class, like Le Petit Prince, where, you know, human connection is of utmost priority. And then to think like, geez, like of all things to happen in the world when you're such a person who thrives off of that. As a parent, you know, I have to, while I'm nervous and scared and fearful, I have to, you know, I can't be falling apart in front of my kids all the time because I am modeling for them how they should feel about the world and about back to school. One of the things that happened over this COVID period of time that was like just so special is that the special family time. And early in the year, my kids, they actually drew up this contract saying, it was so cute, saying that every Wednesday night we would have a family games night. And my husband, Attila, and I, we had to sign it saying that we agreed on Wednesday nights we would play family games. And that didn't end up happening once. Not once, because like things get in the way, or, you know, you come home from school and there's extracurricular activities and you're rushing off to this, that, and the other. And by the time you cook supper, and because my kids are young, there's an early bedtime. We just never did it. And the second that we were all at home, like from March break forward, we played family games every single night. We played some kind of board game or card game. And just thinking about like, wow, in the quote unquote normal world, we couldn't find a night during the week. Of course, weekends were different, but a night during the week to devote this time to them. And yet now we have. So you want to really like sit in that for a minute. We need to take lessons from what's happening right now. And even, you know, fingers crossed that we get to this point where there's a vaccine and we come out of this on the other side. And we have to take those lessons into the normal world then, and remember to like use this time where everything is shut down and been so different, and be like, what are the lessons we can learn from this and bring that back into our lives?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's so, so important that we like refocus in on what really matters. And I know even with like connecting with people in my life, one of my best friends had a baby, and I was like, we saw her at a distance, and it's like, there were some really emotional moments where I'm thinking, is this baby going to go through the whole first year of its life and I'm not going to be able to hold her? Like my very best friend who I grew up with my whole life, you know, there were some hard, hard times where we are missing the essence of what it means to be a human being, but then we're refocusing in and reallocating our time into the people that we love and finding ways to do it, right? Distance walks, visiting people on their porch, like to see a sense of community. Like I just thought my heart warmed to see like kids playing on the street, you know, and like families going for walks outside and going for hikes. It's just, it's neat to see that in troubling times, we can all come together like that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I totally agree that this time, it was so important for us and the people around us to, you know, build that relationship and even, you know, even mending some relationships. Yeah, and I guess to reiterate, the theme of our discussion was how to make the most of this upcoming school year, since it will be very different. And to wrap things up, do you have any advice that you could give for students, staff, people going to the upcoming school year?
Just be kind. Be kind to each other. Understand that we're all going through something we've never been through before. And so that sense of empathy is going to be so important. Each and every one of us is coming from a different experience in these last 6 months. And so just appreciating that. We all have stories that nobody knows about and situations that nobody's privy to. So we just really need to make sure that we're approaching everyone with kindness.
Mm-hmm. And I'll add to that, my advice to students would be to not be afraid to be honest with your teachers. Mm-hmm. Let them know, like, if you are having a hard time, just let them know. I think that sometimes there's this fear, and I understand, like, your teacher is in a position of authority to you and they ultimately are going to be giving you a grade at the end of the course, and so there can be some fear with being open and being vulnerable about what you're experiencing. But I think if we reassure our students, listen, there's no judgment, none whatsoever. So, you know, if you're able to tell me, like, listen, I'm struggling here. And I don't just mean with content, but I'm really struggling with fear and anxiety and loneliness, and this isn't working for me, or I don't know how to engage in this environment. I'm not used to this. I don't like this. I don't like this design, you know. And always, I've never, ever, ever heard of I personally have never had a negative response in that kind of interaction. I've never heard of a teacher who has. I think that we are all human and understanding at our core. And this is going to be a year of exceptions, right? Where it can be like, okay, so what can I do to help you? Or what would work better? Okay, this isn't working for you. Can we find a different way? Can we find another way that you'll find this more manageable, or where you can still have success and you can still feel safe?
Ms. Scullion, you say it so beautifully. Like, really, we are open people. We want to hear how you're doing. And if you have any questions or concerns about anything, like, go to your teacher. Please do. We want to listen and we want to help you.
To be absolutely honest, I really love what both of you said. It just, you know, coming from you guys, that advice just sounds so real and so personal. You know, that idea of, you know, that idea that everybody is vulnerable right now, and you just need to develop a little bit of self-awareness and, you know, awareness about others. And I think, you know, that advice, while it is so applicable right now, I think having that sense of awareness all the time is just, that's timeless advice. So I think students, you know, students who are the main people who will be listening to this podcast, that's timeless advice that they can apply even when things start to slow down. So I just love that you both said that.
And can we just say, like, you guys are absolutely amazing. I can't believe you're running this podcast. That's so cool. Like, I just think you're absolute superstars. And what a great way to connect with the community as well.
I know, Lune, when we got your emails too, I'm like, gosh, they're so professional. even your transitions from question to question, Lord. Like, if you want to come in and teach my class at any time, you're welcome to do it. I'm going to need some coaching. But yeah, like, sincerely, thank you. And congratulations. You're both superstars.
Thank you so
much. Best of luck this year. Best of luck. Yeah, keep in touch and let us know how it goes on your end. We always like to hear feedback. It helps us.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for sitting down with us.
Yeah, thank you. This podcast wouldn't happen without you guys, and we really do appreciate it. And also, just one more thing, based on your responses, I can totally tell you two are so empathetic and kind. And I think, like, teachers like you, at the helm of our education, we know as students, we feel the support for the upcoming school year. So we really thank you guys for that.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Can I just add to what Tiffany's saying? I think I said this before too, but, you know, just please know that as students, we really sincerely appreciate what you guys are doing. Just in no way do your efforts go unnoticed. So, you know, this podcast, just while it highlights the both of you, it's just, we understand that teachers are doing so, so much on every front. So just thank you so much for providing your insight on this subject.
It was a true pleasure, honestly.
Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. Okay, so thank you to Ms. Kidd and Madame Sillian for joining us today, for having such an insightful conversation.
Okay, so that concludes Tell My Story special episode with Madame Sillian and Ms. Kidd. Tune in next Tuesday for another episode of Tell My Story, in which we'll highlight on another amazing individual. Thank you so much.